ask you to bless the reading of your word this morning, Lord, and open each heart here this day, Lord. Let's have what you have for each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had this message for a couple weeks since we didn't have it last week. Didn't have church or anything, a meeting. But and I kind of thought that I didn't know whether to leave this and go to something else and maybe start with another message or something. But the Lord wanted me to stay with this. And I read over it quite a bit, and I did some searching of the scriptures, and I just came back to this. So this is what the Lord wants me to bring forth. Now, he also wanted me to have this for me, so. And kind of a title is to be free, to be or not to be free. And free, we say we live in a free country. I guess we do, compared to the rest of the world in some things. But free or as to attain, which is referred to as freedom, or the real sense of liberty, in one's own will or humanity. Now see, here's a catch here. Freedom, real sense of liberty. It said in one's own will, humanity, which I say not so. We cannot have true freedom or really be truly free by our own selves, our own merits. Because true freedom is an attribute of God. And it's also declared many times, and I say many, many, many times, by the Apostle Paul. In harmony with unanimous testimony of the Scriptures in the Word. It's all throughout here. There's only one that can bring us freedom, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. Let's go to Ephesians 1, chapter 1, we'll read verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. These scriptures today, they're all familiar, I know, but they are so important, all of them. Blessed be the God and the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. There's a lot here, right? For the foundation of the world. He set us, he blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everything goes through Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. We are truly blessed. Today as we sit here, we are blessed. You're blessed in your house when you go into that private time with the Lord. That is really a blessing because you're one-on-one with the Lord and he's speaking to your heart. He's having you search out his word, what he has for you. It says, having predestinated us into the adoption of children or the sons of God, think about it. We are called the children or the sons of God. Before the foundation of this world, but because of Jesus Christ and the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Pretty important things here. We'll go down to go down a little further in this chapter. I'm going to start in verse 11. And I left some of it out because some of it we're going to come back to later. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So there's a lot here too, right? We had the first part of it over here in the beginning of the chapter, and he comes right back and says, we have obtained an inheritance again. Paul goes back and re-emphasizes or reiterates over and over on certain things. And if you notice, he does it a lot. And the reason why, because I think you have a tendency when you read it over here and you get going on, you might forget it, I don't know. But he wants to make sure that you know through every step of this, every step we take along the way, he wants us to be reminded continually of what's in here in his word, that we have obtained an inheritance because of Jesus Christ. And it's because of the praise of his glory, our Heavenly Father. We cannot and will not obtain freedom on our own merits, right? Why? Because we are born into the bondage of sin. Born into the bondage of sin. That's not our fault, of course, but it was all part of God's plan that we need a Savior. And we do, but we attain freedom only through a wholehearted faith in Jesus Christ. And the important part, the redeeming power in the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. By the blood of Jesus, can we obtain this freedom? You know, there's a lot of talk in the world about being free and this, you get this for free or that for free. And trust me, there's nothing free. The only thing that's free in this world is believing in Jesus Christ. Salvation that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ, that was freely given to us. It's the only thing I know. I've lived 69 years and I probably started remembering things around 4 or so. So, and I don't remember all these years that there's anything really free other than this message right here. This is free. Let's turn to Romans. We just had this a little while back, I know, but Romans is so rich in all this. And I just picked out a few scriptures here and there, and maybe when we read these today, they might spark your memory. The Holy Spirit grasps your memory and have you go somewhere else and search some more. I encourage you to do so. Romans 7. Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 25. For a long time, I didn't understand what Paul was saying here, but if you read it, really, you pray the Holy Spirit would reveal it to you, and then you read it slow enough and go over it a few times, you get to understand what he's saying here. It says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Every one of us can say this, right? For I know that in me, that is my in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So every one of us can read this portion. That is us. Every one of us can say this. I can. I tell you right now, I can. I understand it. I understand what Paul's saying. It's to be free from sin is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been saved. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus, set free from sin. That doesn't mean that we just don't sin anymore, because we are still sinners, but we know where to go. We know who to turn to. He has delivered us, will deliver us, and yet we have a big final deliverance that we're going to have one day when we get to the other side. We won't have this war going on between our members, our mind and our body. But if you read this and understand what he says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So Paul was really having a thing going on here. And I think the reason why the Holy Spirit allowed him to put this in here, because this speaks to every man. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. As the outward man perish, the inward man grows. The life of Christ in us, right? We want it to grow. We want it to build. We want to be built up. We want to be edified through Christ. Let's see, where am I? Let's go to Romans 5, chapter 5. Now, I can just tell you can just read all these, Romans 5, 6, and 7, all of them, all of Romans, everything. And it tells you so much. It tells you all we need to know. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So I said earlier that this is by faith, right? Everything's by faith. You have to have faith. There was a saying, it was in a song a while back, but I heard it before the song was. It said, you got to stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And people will fall for anything in this world. Anything that sounds free, or they're going to get rich or whatever, you know, whatever's going on. Trust me. They tell you if it sounds too good to be true, it is. We should only have one faith, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Because it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Think about that. We have peace with our God. And we have access by faith into this grace. It's all God's grace. And what do we do? Wherein we stand, right? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And drop down to verse 5. And hopeth make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Right? Reconciliation. Oh my gosh, there's so much here. But it tells us, being now justified by his blood, saved from wrath through him. So everything goes through Jesus Christ. You know, so many people, they want to live forever today. They look for ways to make themselves young and live for a long time. And I don't know about you, but I only want to live here as long as the good Lord wants me to live here. And when he said it's time to go home, I'm ready. I want to go home. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here any longer than I have to be. And I don't know how long that is. But it doesn't matter. Stay in the Word. Stay in the faith of our God and in his grace. You can't go wrong, I guarantee you. Drop down to 15, same chapter. Excuse me. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Think about that. By one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He calls many sons to glory. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift. Thank you. Let's see. Let me start over. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Right? That's pretty good stuff. Okay? For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There it is, right? That's what we want. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Paul lays this out just so well. I mean, if you read this, I don't know how you get anything else, that Jesus is the way, the only way. Let's go to Romans 6. I want to read 19 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to start in 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Right? Can't have both. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Being made free from sin, he says, servants to God, your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's a lot. That's the best gift you'll ever find anywhere in this universe. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he just puts it out pretty plainly. He tells us several times. Faith, righteousness, peace, inheritance, obedience, What are you obedient to? Sin. Obedience to sin, you're free from righteousness. Why would you want to be free from righteousness? But we all were at one time. It's so important to read the Word. And I encourage you to read all this, all these scriptures in Romans. God, they're so good. They're just so good. Let's move backwards a little bit to John. In John 8. Chapter 8, verse 32. A little short one. He said, Jesus said, hear his words, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh my gosh. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? Very simple. Back to John 4. 4:10 says, verses 10 through 14. This is Jesus at the well, of course, speaking to the Samaritan woman. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? See, he's got her thinking now, see. The well's deep. She's thinking a human thing. I can't get the water. You can't get the water out of there. How are you going to get it out of there? Jesus could have done anything. Then he says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, she says, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life. The living water. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John 6:45. John 6:45 says, it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Right? So everybody knows about the Father cometh unto Jesus. Because why? Because Jesus in 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only by Jesus. Don't take my word for it. It's right here. You read it all through the Bible. Jesus is the way. People don't even believe in Jesus. And believe me, they don't know the way. They may think they know the way, but they do not know the way. The way they're going is on a long, wide path to destruction. But Jesus is offering a way that leads to everlasting life. But you must make that choice. It has to, I don't want to use this word, infect your heart. It has to be in your heart to know that this is the way to go. Because if you just say, oh yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus, and then you just do whatever you want, and then you just go back and call on Jesus, Jesus will hear your cry, but he knows your heart. If you're not crying from a true heart, I don't know. I think you're kind of wasting your breath a little bit. Let's turn to Psalms. Since Gordon just went over these not too long ago, I thought I'd throw one in here. Actually, I could have thrown a lot in here, but... Psalms 25. This was hard because there's so many psalms that I could have read from that spoke of everything that we're speaking of today about being free and how David sought this freedom and this everlasting life. David knew. Psalms 25, 4 through 12. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Pretty good what he says here, right? Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will be he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What is man? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Kind of sums it up, don't it? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. It's all right here to be taught to you. Everything in here can show you the way. You can learn more and more about our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. You can learn it all right here in this book. But you have to seek it first. You have to have a desire to seek the Word. In Proverbs 1:23 it says this, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Psalms 1, or let's see, oh, in John 17:17, and I think this was read just one of these Wednesday nights. Sanctify them through truth, thy word is truth. Psalms 111:45 says this, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You're going to have to turn to the next one. I'll let you off that easy. Isaiah 61. This is another one. There's a lot in Isaiah that you could have read too. So much here. 61. starting verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath known me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ here, the joy of Israel restored. But also said that, I picked this up because I like this. Trees of righteousness, this is done by the planting of the Lord. It says, for why? That he, the Lord, might be glorified. That's what we're here for. We're here to glorify the Lord. But you have to be in his word. You have to believe what he says is true. Let's turn to, I'm going to go back to Romans here for just one more time, I think. Romans 8. Boy, I love these Romans books. Let's turn to Romans 8. We're going to read 1 and 2 and then some other verses further down. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? You can read the stuff in between. I'm going to drop down to verse 15. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We said that earlier, right? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then he goes on a little further to tell what all that means. Verse 17, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creation, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, or creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, or creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, it's not just a liberty here. We see it's a glorious liberty. You won't find any liberty above this, I can tell you right now. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Why? Because we're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for Jack always said he wanted to get his glorified body. That's what he was waiting for. And it came true for him. And it's also true for us. That's what we want. We want to be with our Lord. We want to see him face to face. Ephesians 1. Verse 7, this is the middle portion. I didn't read the first time. Remember 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, right? Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which on earth, even in him. And then we read the rest of it. We have attained an inheritance. Let's go to Titus. Titus 3, five through 7, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It goes on in verse 8, this is a faithful saying. Hebrews 10. Starting with verse 7. It says at the top of my Bible, the mediator of the New Testament, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 7. Well, 6. And burnt offering and sacrifice of sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. You see what he's doing, right? By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's always once for all. This is it, right? I got one more. Revelations. Revelation 21. 21, verse 6 and 7. Well, in verse 5, he said, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Okay. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Think about that, right? I am the Alpha and Omega. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Doesn't get any freer than that. We are definitely free indeed by the grace of God that's come to the race through redemption, through regeneration, sanctification. The bondage of sin completely destroyed. We are free indeed. That's what I have this morning. Free, free, free. That song Kathy called that one night. I don't run around singing it all day. Free, free, free. We are definitely free. Thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father for his perfect plan of salvation. His salvation came to us. Well, I went over a little bit, so let's stand and be dismissed.